Hello, NBA fans, and welcome back to the NBA Outlet presented by OTG Basketball. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on iTunes and give us a follow on Twitter at OTG Basketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, my good man, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey?
What's up, Nick? Just when we thought the NBA offseason was winding down, there wasn't going to be any noise, they drop a bomb on us.
They drop a bomb. And yeah, you're right. You know, we haven't had any real news. Obviously, Kyrie requested a trade a few weeks ago, but now he's traded. You know, and it comes to a surprise. We did not expect this team to be the trade partner, and it was the Boston Celtics. Kyrie Irving was traded for Isaiah Thomas, Drake, Jay Crowder, and Antetokounmpo, and the Brooklyn Nets 2018 unprotected pick. So initially, what were your thoughts on this trade? Did anybody come out with a win, or is this a trade that works out for both parties?
First, I'm going to say just wow, because, you know, the whole offseason, you know, the Celtics getting, you know, Gordon Hayward, trading for Marcus Morris. You know, Isaiah Thomas, like there was a Snapchat of him dancing in his kitchen once they signed Gordon Hayward. You know, it just felt like we were getting ready for the Boston Celtics going at the Cleveland Cavaliers as they were, you know, battling for that top spot in the East to go against, you know, the Giants that we know that are in the West with the Warriors. And then, you know, the biggest threat to the Cavs just stole the Cavs player, and the Celtics gave up, you know, their all-star MVP caliber point guard Isaiah Thomas, a future draft pick. It's just crazy to think that two teams that were set on battling, you know, they battled all last year. They're set to battle this year. They're going to battle this year, just exchange their top players.
Yeah, it's definitely something you don't necessarily see. And I think this has something to do with the Warriors, not to bring the Warriors into every conversation, but the Cavs don't really care about the Celtics. They just care about being able to have a shot at Golden State and maybe getting a chance at LeBron to stay. You know, from initial look at this trade, I think it does work out for both parties. Kyrie's a younger player that you're more okay giving the max than Isaiah Thomas. And as we know, Isaiah Thomas will be a free agent at the end of the year, so the Cavs will have a decision on him. But Jay Crowder's a nice piece to add to the Cavs. He gives them a solid role player that can really, you know, give them something against Golden State. And also, obviously, bringing that Brooklyn pick, you know, it might not necessarily be as high as we originally anticipated, but it should still be a lottery pick.
Yeah, you know, I think when I look at this trade, you know, who goes where, the Celtics, I think, got the best player in the deal, but I think the Cavs got the best deal only because, you know, Isaiah Thomas, they get out of the luxury tax, which is huge. The trade kicker or the trade kicker for Kyrie, they don't have to pay any more of that money. Obviously they're out of the luxury tax. Isaiah Thomas is only making $6 million a year. Jay Crowder's on a pretty friendly deal. I think it's right around 13 or 14 mil a year. And then you have I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. You have the Ante, who's, you know, a young center. And then, like you said, they have the Nets 2018 first-round draft pick, which, you know, we don't know if it will be a top pick overall like last year, but we can guess it's going to be another lottery pick.
Exactly. And, you know, it's something that the Cavs had in that first-round pick, and I'm not necessarily thinking they're going to do this for sure, but it does give them a trade chip. Something that they didn't really have other than Kyrie and Kevin Love. Now they have another piece that they could possibly move for a player, not necessarily, you know, a lock to get you a superstar, but it's not a trade asset that they did have in the past.
And another thing, you know, not that I want to bring up the fact that LeBron could possibly leave on this podcast in particular, but, you know, if LeBron does end up leaving, now you have that 2018 first-round draft pick. You still have Jay Crowder under contract. You still have Kevin Love under contract, Tristan Thompson. You could possibly bring in Isaiah Thomas and re-sign him, and the Cavaliers can remain competitive without LeBron. I'm not saying they do that, but it's another possible route if you do lose LeBron James next year.
Yeah, and we remember what happened last time when LeBron left. You know, that team was terrible. They did end up with a couple number one overall picks, but the team was still bad, and it kind of set up for LeBron to come back the next time. But I think this time they could keep Isaiah Thomas, even though they'd have to dish out extra money and still remain competitive, like you said.
Yeah, it's definitely a move. Cleveland's definitely looking for the future more than right now, because I still don't believe this trade makes Cleveland any better. It just was able to get rid of, you know, they gave Kyrie what he wanted. Kyrie wanted his own team, and if you look over on the Boston perspective, that's what he has now. I mean, he pretty much just got Isaiah Thomas's role. And we know what Isaiah Thomas was last year. He was the number one option. He averaged right around 30 points per game with 29. He's, you know, not much of an assist guy. He gives you very little defense. Irving is probably a little bit better of a defender because of his size. You know, not as much of a playmaker, but he gives you the scoring, and he'll be able to take full range of that offense with, you know, decent guys around him in Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, and Al Horford.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I could see how the Cavs might be a little bit better from this trade just because they add more depth with Jay Crowder. You mentioned this to me. It gives them somebody else that can throw to Kevin Durant or a Klay Thompson. You know, defensively against the Warriors in the finals, they were terrible. You know, they had nobody to match up. The only issue is Isaiah Thomas is probably going to struggle a lot more against Golden State. And like you said, defensively, he's definitely an issue. IT, though, I wouldn't be surprised if we'd be willing to give more effort on defense. It's just his lack of size. People are always going to be able to shoot over somebody who's 5'8".
Yeah, and in a finals rematch, you know, say we get a four-peat, Stephen Curry on Isaiah Thomas is probably the worst-case scenario for the Cavs. And if you don't have Isaiah Thomas, you have Derrick Rose. So
and who's maybe even worse defensively. So, I mean,
Curry seeing this deal is probably licking his lips because this is – he's thinking, all right, if I have to deal with them again, I have two guys I'm going to just steamroll for another seven games.
It's tough, and I think maybe the 2018 pick is a big part of this. Like you said, it kind of helps him in both ways for now and then the future a little bit. Obviously, Kyrie's a great player, but if he didn't want to play, and I said this to you, I think probably the meeting between Kyrie and LeBron didn't go that well, and that, you know, they kind of decided, you know, things aren't going to work out, so we need to move this guy. We don't know how long the trade's been in the works. Obviously, the reporters reported today they could have been working on this for a week, 2 weeks. We don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, it's also funny that it's another – not that I'm going to – you know, we just mentioned it again. It's funny that the Brooklyn Nets are involved in another trade to a degree because, you know, the Nets are technically – not that they're involved, but they're involved at the same time with these draft picks. And,
yeah.
And, you know, it definitely – it definitely came as a shock to me. You know, I was at the gym while these notifications were running through my phone, and then Shams dropped the bomb on me before Waj did. It's just crazy to think that two rivals, and the best part is, Nick, the first game of the season, we're going to see these guys on the floor against each other.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, and like you said, it's rare that you see a 1 and 2 seed make a trade like this, especially exchanging star players. Usually in this trade like this would be one team going into a rebuilding type mode, but both of these teams are still looking to compete. There's a good chance these two teams are going to match up in the Eastern Conference Finals, and it just adds some more drama, and everybody loves that.
I think Boston got worse, though, Nick. I got to be honest. I don't know. I don't think this puts Boston over top of Cleveland. I think it's definitely a piece in the right direction because now you have a younger – a slightly better, I feel like, score. Even though the numbers don't show it to a degree, I think Kyrie Irving is the better. I mean, actually, I'm not gonna pussyfoot around this. Kyrie Irving is a better player than Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I would take Kyrie over Isaiah Thomas. I mean, there's obviously qualities you like about both guys, but I think you look at Kyrie's age, you're more willing to give a player his age, you know, a max contract, and there's a chance he could improve defensively. And we've never seen him in the role that he's going to be in, and we've never seen him in a Brad Stevens offense. So not to say anything bad about Tyronn Lue, but, you know, Brad Stevens has done some really good things since joining the NBA. I'd like to see what happens. One thing I also like about Kyrie in Boston is that he fits their other timeline. This is a weird team because Boston is still now competing at a high level, but in the future they're set up to compete at even a higher level with, you know, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and the other young players they have and the other picks they have, because the Brooklyn pick wasn't the only pick they had. You know, there's other picks that they have in the future going forward that are really going to help them.
Well, the big pick to remember is they still have the Lakers first round pick for next year.
Yeah.
So they still have another lottery projected draft pick in the works.
And yeah.
I know I saw one thing that they plan on still targeting Anthony Davis. So this could still be, you know, Danny Ainge moving around some chess pieces to get another prize possession. Because they're not, I don't think they're done yet, because this team doesn't have enough defense anymore. Losing Crowder, I mean, the defense now is going to be the issue with Boston.
Something really ironic happened. I think, I don't know when Brad Stevens said this. I think it was sometime this week or last week. He said he wants Jaylen Brown to really step up defensively and be like that lockdown type guy. And it was kind of maybe foreshadowing they were going to move Jay Crowder, because I think Jaylen Brown could defensively be one of those type of players. And he showed that already in his young career. He just needs to get more disciplined and more focused. So Boston's definitely going to be a fun team to watch. You mentioned Anthony Davis. There's also been some chirping about maybe possibly Marcus Gasol if the Grizzlies aren't really in the playoff hunt, or they're in the bottom of the West. Obviously, Mike Conley and Marcus Gasol aren't going to be enough to get you over the top in the West. So that could be another player they could be targeting. Anthony Davis could be a guy, but – It's really tough to trade a player like Anthony Davis. But, you know, this offseason we've seen more stars move than we have in 10 years.
We saw, and not just that, we saw stars being moved for a lot less than what you would picture their face value to be.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, definitely. Started, you know, stemming from the Paltry. I mean, this is probably the best, you know, asset to asset. This is probably the best deal we've seen. You know, we saw the DeMarcus Cousins trade at the deadline, the Paul George trade. I know there was another one, the Jimmy Butler trade. You know, we've seen a lot of stars move this offseason. Probably more than I can't remember another offseason, Nick. I'm not sure if you can, where we saw these many all-stars and superstars, you know, being moved around.
I can remember when I was playing 2K in the ninth grade and I was moving everybody to my team.
That's the only time you turn off trade sliders, so there's no cap, you know, limitations.
But, you know, you just don't see stars move like this. And I think you made a great point. I felt like the Cavs actually got good value for Kyrie, especially in the situation they were in. We don't know about the other offers, but, you know, getting an all-star in Isaiah Thomas, getting a great role player in Jay Crowder, and Ante, you know, we don't really know. He's a young guy. We'll see what happens with him. But then the first-round pick with the Brooklyn pick, getting another lottery pick, is a big move.
I think what helps, you know, because I was thinking about this off the pod, because I was comparing just the fact that, you know, he demanded a trade, obviously. You know, and we saw
Paul George requested a trade.
Right. We saw Paul George, you know, even though Paul George came out and said, you know, we'll talk about him in a second. You know, he requested a trade. You know, he requested or told ownership he was going to be leaving, which is very similar to what Irving did. But the good thing for the Cavs is Irving had these 2 years left on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, any team who's looking at Kyrie, they're not thinking this is a one-year rental. They're thinking we have a two-year pitch to keep him long-term. And I saw somebody reported, I can't remember the reporter, I was just, you know, looking through my feed, and he said, you know, Irving is ecstatic about being there and that Boston only made this move because they are convinced after talking to Irving that he will stay long term.
I mean, it makes sense because, I mean, Kyrie Irving is the biggest star on that team. You know, Gordon Hayward, you know, someone, he's a great player, but I think Kyrie's still the bigger star and he has that popularity. And that was something that was brought up a lot too with the Kyrie trade talks, is that Kyrie brings star power to your team. Obviously, the Boston Celtics do just fine fan-wise, but adding more hype to that franchise is just great for them and kind of hopefully bringing them back to the promised land, they hope.
I think there's one issue that Boston could have, though, that, you know, we're still in the euphoria of this trade. Isaiah Thomas was the heart and soul of this roster. You know,
last year, he was very loved by the team.
Yeah, and even the fans. You know, I remember listening to Tom Heisner, or I think that's his name, the announcer. You know, every time Isaiah, you know, would drive, the little guy, like, he became the face of the franchise within the last year. And, you know, he was a big part of Gordon Hayward coming. I know Brad Stevens obviously was a huger part, but Isaiah Thomas was at that meeting with Hayward. It just, you traded your star, and I just have to think that, you know, Horford and the guys who were with him last year, you know, that definitely leaves a weird taste in your mouth.
It definitely does, especially, you know, bringing in Kyrie, who we don't know if he's necessarily the same type of leader that IT was. If you look at it from a Celtics fan perspective, they probably lost three of their fan favorites this season. Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Jay Crowder. You know, that's all players that Boston fans have loved. They play hard. They play, you know, IT doesn't play defense, but Bradley and Crowder do. They get into it. They're gritty. IT has that grit. Obviously, we know what happened with his sister, sadly, during the playoffs and him playing the way he did. But I think at the end of the day, the reason that the Celtics were willing to pull the trigger on this trade is that the fact that Isaiah Thomas is a free agent at the end of the year and they did not want to give him a max contract.
Yeah, and just to throw one tidbit before I elaborate on what you just said, they actually lost four of their starters last year because they lost Amir Johnson to Philly as well.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a number one seed that is going back with only one returning starter from last year, which is also very strange, depending, you know, just seeing how young this team was. But to piggyback on what you said about Isaiah and the hip, you know, just last season, I know his hip injury, that was a big issue with Boston. You know, you said it off the pod, hips are dangerous. You know, without having surgery, there's no way in telling how this is healed and how this will affect him next year, mobility-wise, and just moving around on the floor.
I'm kind of excited to see IT play with LeBron, though. I don't know why. I just, like, am really intrigued by the idea. I don't know. Like, obviously, Isaiah Thomas had his best season last year, but LeBron always does some type of thing where he gets the best out of guys, so maybe IT expands his game a little bit. He's just, like, it's kind of funny going to be seeing, like, you know, probably the Cavs' two best players next to each other, LeBron and IT, like, at such different sizes in the way that they, you know, impact the game. You know, LeBron's kind of physical force, where IT is just like quick, speedy, and getting shots off at all different angles, where LeBron's kind of the guy that's going to overpower you with the muscle strength and athleticism.
Yeah. The one thing I can say, to follow up on your point, Isaiah Thomas always plays with a chip on his shoulder. And if he's able, you know, bearing a setback or the hip injury becoming a regular thing or affecting him, we're going to see Isaiah Thomas with a huge chip on his shoulder from being a face of a franchise to being traded away.
Exactly. Especially after the season he had. He's probably like, yo, what else did you want me to do, bro?
Exactly. I mean, he had the nickname granted upon him, the King of the Fourth, after 2 months of the year where he was just lighting up every fourth quarter. And pretty much all of last season, up until the end, he was, I think, in the top five of points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, the Cavs have needed in the past. LeBron sometimes runs out of gas because they expect him to do so much in the first three quarters. We saw that in the finals. So having a guy that comes out clutch in the fourth could be huge. But enough about that trade. You know, we'll obviously probably even talk about it on a few more pods. But let's talk about something that's close to you, and that's Paul George and the Lakers and the Pacers. So there's been an investigation about the Lakers tampering with Paul George. Obviously, Paul George was not traded to the Lakers. But, you know, there was plenty of reports this year saying after his free agency next season he's going to sign with L.A. Magic Johnson was on an interview and he, like, winked or something. And then there's been supposedly, you know, calls to Paul George's parents or something like that. It's rare that you see it so publicly that he's, like, destined to go to L.A.
I mean, I think without question we can both say that a lot of strange things happened around the Paul George and the Pacers. You know, I'm not going to say the Lakers are guilty. That is yet to be proven, obviously. These are all still allegations. I do believe you're naive if you think tampering does not happen in the NBA.
Just look at Jeff Teague signing July 1st, like soon as free agency started, before anybody else had a chance to sign him. He already agreed with the Timberwolves.
You're right. I think players talk. Players talk. GMs talk. Magic Johnson being, you know, a player, a retired player, a guy who was very involved in the NBA community before becoming the Lakers GM. It's not. I know him and Paul George have had conversations before in the past. And if that guy goes into power and becomes your GM, it's not crazy to think that he made some calls to other players. I wouldn't even say it's out of the realm to think that Magic Johnson and LeBron James have had talks about it. LeBron going to LA. It may not be in the public, but these guys all talk. And just like when LeBron went to Miami those years ago, do you think that just happened in free agency? No. Him, Melo, Wade, they had been talking about that for years about teaming up. And I'm sure as time became closer, the talks intensified. No different than last year with Kevin Durant joining the Warriors. That conversation between Kevin Durant and the Warriors wasn't in free agency. There had to have been talks right near, you know, the end of the finals where Steph Curry and Draymond and Durant were all talking. It happens.
Well, I think that's also a little – players are a little bit different, quote-unquote. They can get away with it. It's more so when the teams are doing it, the general managers, the front office guys, and the executives are talking. That's when it's really frowned upon. But like we said, it happens across the league. I think it's going to be, in a sense, you know, if the Lakers do get punished, it's going to be if it's proven, first off. And then second, how bad of tampering was it? You know, is it something that we see commonly in the NBA, that something that happens frequently, or is it something that's completely different and it's like over the top and it really hurt the Pacers? The Pacers aren't going to get anything out of this. The only thing that's going to happen is the Lakers would be punished.
Yeah, I think what the Pacers want is just, you know, I've been saying this a lot this year. I feel like this is like the year of pettiness. Like this has to be petty season 2K18. Just in general, like it's been crazy this year. I think the Pacers, what their main goal in all of this is just this is just so Paul George can be banned from joining the Lakers in the future. That's their only goal. They just want to make sure Paul George can't go to where he wanted to go, which is why I think they dished him off for that lesser deal to go to OKC.
It could be the case. I mean, that's a possibility. There has been some talk about a possible ban on Paul George signing with the Lakers next offseason, or the Lakers losing a draft pick, or the Lakers being fined, or all of the above. I think a lot of it's going to have to depend on the evidence. Obviously, this isn't like the NFL. They don't just suspend people for no reason, even if the evidence doesn't support it. Cough, cough, Ezekiel Elliott. But
I do want to say one. I want to just clarify my stance on this too. I personally, you know, I don't care about these allegations. You know, I don't care if Magic Johnson and Paul George had talks. You know, the only thing that bothered me about this entire Paul George and Pacers situation was just the was just how it was brought about. You know, just saying, you know, I'm leaving. In the media, you know, I don't care if you want to tell the team you're leaving publicly or privately. It's just making it all public and ruining the leverage of the team. That was the only thing that really bothered me. You know, the Lakers, you know, what team wouldn't want to add a Paul George? You know, and the Lakers having conversations, at the end of the day, it doesn't sway a player's decision to a degree. The player is still going to pick where he wants to go at the end of the day.
I think what, like, you're looking at it from the Pacers or the other teams around the league is, like, not, you know, like you said, you're not going to really sway their decision. But if you're, like, guaranteeing Paul George that you'll have a spot for him and you're going to pay him the money that he wants, it makes it a little bit easier for him to be like, you know, I'll agree with you. It just makes things easier for the Lakers. I mean, personally, if I was a Pacers fan, I might be a little bit of, like, a saltine cracker right now. I wouldn't be too happy about it. I wouldn't be too happy about the fact that we had to get, you know, pennies on the dollar. But like we've said, tampering is something that happens in the NBA. It's a common thing. It's not something that never happened. So I think what we would expect, I don't think they're going to get banned Paul George from signing with them, and I don't think they'll lose a pick. I think probably what's going to happen is maybe a fine.
And that not that, you know, a fine is any less of a punishment, but my personal opinion on fines are they're pretty much meaningless to me. You know, we're talking about guys who have tons of money.
And we're talking about one of the most popular organizations in all the NBA and all of sports.
One of the richest organizations who are worth well over $1 billion.
They're close to two plus, in my opinion.
Right. And what's the fine going to be probably, if we had to take a guess, like $50,000? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't even know. And whatever fine it is, it's not really going to have much of an impact.
It'll be laughable. So
yeah, and they could suspend maybe Magic Johnson or anybody in the front office who would technically communicate with him. But, you know, does the suspension of a front office guy really impact you that much in the beginning of the season? Not really.
No, but who knows? You know, if Adam Silver, you know, this is actually probably one of the first controversial things he's going to have to deal with as commissioner. This is his chance to make a statement if he wanted to make one.
If the NBA did want to take a stance on tampering, I think this would be a time. But I think it's something that's it's almost impossible to monitor, because you have players that are talking to each other, which is technically okay. Then you have agents who are talking to other agents. Then you have family members, or quote unquote your people. You know, like, everybody has their guys that they stay with, or their management people that are always talking to other guys. So I think it's almost impossible for the NBA to kind of put a lockup on tampering. Just don't get caught is what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's still different than, you know, drawing comparisons to the NFL, the Spygate situation with the Patriots. Every team, to a degree, spies a little bit. They try and pick up on other teams' strategies and stuff like that. But the Patriots got caught. And this could be one of the situations where the Lakers got caught.
And they just took it to another level over the top. And that's just something that, you know, if you do, like, if you're a criminal and you're, you know, getting away with doing something low level constantly, soon as you go to that next level and try to do something else, that's usually when you get caught. So I think I want to be like, you know, calm down. We don't want to make this as public. If you guys do it, don't let it be seen.
I mean, honestly, this may, like just what you said, this may never have been a thing if Magic Johnson didn't have to do that wink on Jimmy Kimmel. You know, if he had just said a couple comments and, you know, left it at where it was, and, you know, he had to go that, like you said, that little extra mile where he kind of like, you know, let me do this wink thing. Like, yeah, I've talked to him. Like, what are you going to do about it kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just always anything a little bit over the top. You don't want to see that as the NBA, and you don't want it to be a public thing. You know, if they do it privately and no one really talks about it, it's not as big a deal. But when it becomes public and then it really hurts. It doesn't really hurt the big market teams, you know, the teams that are playing in LA, New York, Miami, teams like that. It's the teams like Indiana, those small market teams that aren't able to necessarily attract big time free agents. And when they lose a guy like Paul George, it really hurts.
Yeah, and that's who the Pacers, to a degree, are sticking up for. They're sticking up for the little guy. Because
I wouldn't be surprised if other owners have the Pacers back or other managements around the league are like, you know what, this has kind of happened to us in the past, but it wasn't publicly, but we got your back.
No, I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, think about a team like the Pelicans. You know, a year from now, they could be facing the same situation. If a team like Boston, you know, makes a push for Anthony Davis, or Anthony Davis says, you know, I want to leave and this is where I want to go, or something like that in the media, it changes everything. You know, we saw Dwight Howard do it. Well, Dwight Howard did it personally. But, you know, if you see teams actively shopping a player and a player buys into it, it's utterly chaos for some small market teams who can't, you know, pay the max dollar and build these super teams.
Exactly. We'll see what happens with that. And we'll definitely keep an eye on. I'm going to start counting down the days to October 17th so I can watch this Kyrie IT matchup. I cannot wait to see LeBron guard Kyrie Irving. Obviously, it's not going to be a regular thing in the game, but obviously at certain points we should see a Kyrie and LeBron matchup.
Can we make way, 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 way too early predictions?
On that game, I'll let you swing.
Okay, so I'm going to say Cleveland wins that by 15, and Kyrie goes off for 40, but it's not enough.
Yeah, I think I don't even know why I'm making an early prediction. You got me into it. I'm going to go with the Cavs because I think LeBron just like, bro, you wanted to leave my squad? My squad, the squad that's just been to the final 7 straight years, so you can quote-unquote have your own team. We'll show you what's good real quick. And I think the Cavs will take that one.
I feel like it's going to be one of those games where it will be like the media after it will be like, wow, Cleveland is the best team in the East by far. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's one of those, yeah, like the media will overreact type of games.
And especially because IT is going to have a chip. Jay Crowder is going to have a chip. I mean, Kyrie's only one dude. So, it's not like the rest of the Boston team hates the Cavs.
It will feel like a playoff game on October 17th.
Yeah, and people will overreact. They'll go way over the top, but it won't really mean as much as it'll seem like it'll mean at the time.
Without question.
All right, Corey, it was great talking to you. Great to get a little in here real quick before we're back to the NBA season. We'll get back to our previews. And as always, thanks, everybody, for listening.
A little OTG bomb.